6. I'd like to look this morning at one verse, verse 5. Ezra chapter 6, verse 5. The Scripture says, "And also let the golden and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple, which is at Jerusalem, and brought unto Babylon, be restored, and brought again unto the temple, which is at Jerusalem, every one to his place, and place them in the house of God." Now, as we've said before, this temple being built in Jerusalem is a picture of the true church being built up collectively. Individual lively stones, the Scripture refers to God's people, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. So we have the mystical body of Christ, His body, being built up collectively by individuals who are His body, lively stones. Now Ephesians 2:21 reveals that this building is, in the words of Scripture, fitly framed together and groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. That groweth, closely joined together, closely put together. It's a temple. Amazing, mystical temple that God Almighty has been pleased to reveal that He dwells in this world within His people, individuals and collectively. Now, those are truths that we just cannot possibly enter into fully, but it's so. We are the temple of God. And this building up, being built up, it's not increasing in the sense that He's making new sheep. There are no new sheep being made. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10, verse 6. The Lord told His apostles, His disciples. He said, well, let's read verse 5, Matthew 10, 5. "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Lost sheep. Now, I looked up that word lost. Sheep. It means this: destroyed, perishing, or marred. The lost sheep. Those that have been marred, destroyed, dead in trespasses and sins. The Lord has a sheep, has a people. They've always been His people. They've always been His sheep. But increasing or being built up, this temple, in the sense that He's causing the effects of His grace to be made known to His people. They see, they behold it by faith. They're not made sheep. Maybe lost sheep, found sheep, but they're sheep. And the Lord, by His Holy Spirit, through His means, the means of the preaching of the gospel, He grants faith, these sheep, His sheep, His sheep, the Scripture says, hear His voice, and they follow Him. He gives unto them eternal life, and they'll never perish. They're His sheep. He regenerates His sheep, and they grow in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They're sheep. So this temple that is being built is a picture of what's actually taking place in time in this world. In the first four verses of chapter 6, we found that to this body, to this group, to the elect, to the chosen, there was a decree that was given unto them. Now, this decree is an eternal decree in the mind and will and purpose of Almighty God. King Cyrus, in type, in picture, wrote out a decree that the people that were in bondage in Babylon could go out, go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. That was a decree. Now, there were some that wanted to give some problems to those that were building this temple. And so those Jews told those that wanted to give them some problems, they said, look, let it be searched out and find out if there was not a decree that was made by King Cyrus. And the Scripture says that they looked, and King Darius, back in verse 1, the king that had made this decree, a search was made in the house of rolls where the treasure was laid up. This decree was found. Now, we found that that hidden decree had been found out. The hidden treasures of Almighty God's promises to His people are found in the eternal covenant of His grace by and through His Word. And now, in this decree, we find, starting in verse 5, the law that was concerning these vessels. This decree was said, and this is where we are in verse 5. Within that decree that was made by King Cyrus, it says, let the golden and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple at Jerusalem, let them be brought back. They were found in Babylon. So these golden and silver vessels of God's house, these vessels were taken. You go back in 2 Chronicles 36:7 and find at that point where Nebuchadnezzar took those vessels out of the temple there. Now here we see in type the fall of God's elect in Adam. That's the first thing we see here. God's people, all men fail in the garden, even God's elect. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Let's look at that. Romans 5, 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon how many? All of them. All men. For that all have sinned. All men in Adam. All of God's elect. All men. All non-elect. All men fell in the garden. Within this world, though, God Almighty has a sheep that He's chosen from the foundation of the world. In John 15:19, the Gospel of John chapter 15 and verse 19, the Scripture says, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Now in Adam, all of God's sheep, all of the elect, failed, just like all men, all of us, fell in Adam. But the Scripture says, back in Ezra chapter 6 and verse 5, that there were some golden and silver vessels in the house of God. In Romans 9:21, I'll just read this to you. The Scripture says, "Hath the potter power over the clay of the same lump?" Now, I just want to be very, very plain this morning. Out of the same lump, the same pit, the same stuff, all men fell in Adam. But out of all those that fell in Adam, out of the same, there was no difference whatsoever. All have sinned. All have come short of the glory of God. But Almighty God, out of the same lump, chose a people. Hath the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another vessel unto dishonor? Some of you men have had close ties, worked in coal mines for a long time. Now, if one of you fellows that's been down coal mines had gone down into the pit of the earth in a coal mine, and there someone was listening to you while you were way down in there, start to holler, "Look what I have found. Look what I have found in this coal mine." And here you were coming, just hollering and just really excited. And they came up and they showed you what you found in that coal mine. Out of the pit of that coal mine, that dark, dirty coal, filthy coal. And they reached out and they showed me, "Look what I found right there. A lump of coal." They'd say, "What do you mean a lump of coal? What'd you expect to find in there? Look at this, a lump of coal. But what makes that lump of coal any different than any other lump of coal that's in there?" Spiritually speaking, nothing but the grace of God. That's it. "Hath the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor?" I heard someone say, "God's people are diamonds in the rough." No, they're not. If it's a diamond in the rough, then it's a diamond. And you just clean it up. God's people are not diamonds in the rough. They're lumps of coal. They're nothing. They're made out of the same lump. And they're made vessels of honor, chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ. New creations. They're not reformed. They're made new. They're created in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy, I want you to look at this scripture. 2 Timothy 2:20. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 20. "In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor, some to dishonor." Some vessels are likened, according to God's word, to His jewels, spared by His mercy and grace. Some vessels are found within the physical or outward. We've met here today. We've come together and we've assembled this morning to hear the preaching. That's what we hear. That's what we're here for, to preach the gospel. The Scripture reveals that there are, in a field of a man's planting, some wheat. There are some tares. The Lord Jesus Christ says that the kingdom of heaven is likened to 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. In that day, in this physical, outward, great house, there are some vessels unto honor. There are some vessels unto dishonor. There are some wheat, there are some tares. There are some wise virgins, there are some foolish virgins. In every outward, but within the body, the spiritual body of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're all vessels of honor. They're all golden vessels in His body. The Scripture says that these vessels, back in Ezra chapter 6 and verse 5, let the golden and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple, which is at Jerusalem, they were in Babylon, let those be restored. Now these golden and silver vessels were taken out of the temple that was in Jerusalem because of the rebellion of the Jews. That's why God sent Nebuchadnezzar. He sent this man, and they were taken captives. The Lord's people, God's vessels of honor, were taken captive in Adam by rebellion. In Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians 2, verse 1 and 2, the Scripture says, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Psalm 51:5, David says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity." Lord willing, this next Sunday night, I want to deal just a moment with that Scripture right there, but just to suffice it to say for right now, when he says, "I was shapen," that word "shapen" means to twist or to whirl, W-H-I-R-L, to whirl. And what he was saying, what David was saying is, sin was twisted into all that I am. I was shapen. All of the twisting, there's nothing that is about me that was not twisted or whirled in with the iniquity. I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. These vessels of God's choosing, God's electing grace, were taken captive. Nebuchadnezzar is a picture of sin, the power which held us captive. We were captive also to the curse then of the law. Galatians 3:13 says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us." But Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon, the city that was built by Nebuchadnezzar, is a picture of the manifestation, hear me well, Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon says, "Take these vessels, the golden and silver vessels of the house of God that Nebuchadnezzar took, brought them into Babylon." The epitome of the manifestation of spiritual bondage is to believe that man has a free will. That is the epitome. That is the peak. That is the top of the pinnacle. The top of the pinnacle, the manifestation of spiritual bondage and death, is to think that man has the ability to reconcile himself back to God based on his free will and his choosing. That is to make him, man, the final word, the last choice. That is to make man the one that governs his destiny. I chose, God offered it, and I chose to be able to make myself free. I chose, and then God saved me because I chose. That is the epitome, that is the totality of rebellion against God. Now turn with me to Daniel. Daniel chapter 4. Daniel 4:28. Take these golden and silver vessels that Nebuchadnezzar took into Babylon. Daniel 4, verse 28. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" And while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will." He will. You take, back in Ezra chapter 6, you take, let the golden and silver vessels that were taken in bondage. And I'm telling you that free will, that heinous lie that has been told men, is the epitome of rebellion against God. Satan said, "I will be as the Most High." If it comes right down to it, you think about it. When man thinks that he has the ability to make the choice, he places himself above God Almighty. These vessels, the Scripture says, back in Ezra 6, they were to be restored and brought again unto the temple, which is at Jerusalem. Restored. That is, put back in their state. By willful sin, man broke fellowship and communion with Almighty God. And man must be reconciled before he is having any fellowship with God Almighty, and he cannot reconcile himself. Concerning the believer, Colossians 1:21 says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." That word reconcile means that which God accomplishes, exercising his grace toward a sinner on the ground of the death of Christ in his propitiatory or favorable sacrifice under the judgment that is due to sin. Reconciliation is accomplished totally by God Himself. "Yet now hath He reconciled." Not the two of us, not me and the Lord has a good thing going, not honk if you love Jesus. "Yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death," not through man's free will. "He reconciled through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight." These golden and silver vessels were to be restored, and the Scripture says they were to be brought again into the temple. Brought again into the temple, which is at Jerusalem, everyone to his place, and place them in the house of God. Brother Carl read in Psalm 40 a while ago. Psalm 40, the Scripture says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." Now, let me tell you this. First of all, there's only one that's ever waited patiently on the Lord. Only one. Not me. I didn't wait patiently on the Lord. But in my Redeemer, in my substitute, who only waited patiently on the Lord, and inclined unto me in Him, and heard my cry in Him, He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. I was in Alaska a few years ago, and we were out on the edge of a body of water, and this fellow that was talking to us about this shore there. It was dark. It was not sandy. He said, that's called miry clay. He said, it's like a quicksand. And he said, once you get in it, established in it, he said, there's no getting out of it. Miry clay. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, only in my Redeemer. Only in the Lord Jesus Christ. These vessels of honor, golden and silver vessels, that Nebuchadnezzar took out, brought out, picture of being brought out by sin, taken, held captive. These are going to be restored, put back, and brought again. Christ Himself brings His people, and they're going to be brought and restored to their place, His place. 1 Corinthians 12. Turn with me there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 14. The body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not if the ear shall say, because I'm not the ear, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased Him. There is not one member of His mystical body in this place this morning that is not exactly doing exactly that which Almighty God has been pleased for them to do. It is the most amazing thing to behold the wonder of God's grace. You that believe, you may say to yourself right now, I have no earthly idea what my part in this body is. Oh, I can see where if Brother Scott's up here preaching or reading, or Brother Carl, or I'm up here, or one of you other men are up here, I can see that part of it. I can understand that. But I don't see any reason. I don't see what I'm doing in this body. You have no earthly idea. I told someone one time that there's times that I'll look out, and I know a lot of times people think, well, I'm just scanning, I don't see. But I see what's going on, and I can see the movement of an eyebrow. I can see a smile. I can see the nod of a head when it goes just like this. That much. I saw it. You have no earthly idea the encouragement or the prayer. How many times has someone in this congregation prayed for me or for one of these other men that have spoken? I don't know. You say, well, because I'm not an eye, evidently I must not be part of the body. The Scripture says that the Lord Himself set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased Him. And there's not an unimportant member in the body of Christ. They're not. These will be brought again, and they'll be put back in His place. Place. In the house of God. 1 Corinthians, just turn back a few pages. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit,
which are God's. These people that Almighty God has eternally loved and chosen in the person of His blessed Son, those for whom the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, walked, being made of a woman, made under the law, and obeyed perfectly the law of God, for all that God Almighty chose eternally, went to the cross, being made to be sin for them, He who knew no sin, that they might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And in time, He brought them out, called them out of darkness, revealed Himself through them. And if Almighty God, who resides within them by His Holy Spirit, while they sit and listen to the gospel of free grace, the gospel of Christ, if the Spirit of God causes them to hear of Christ and grants them a heart of agreement concerning Him, and they nod their head one time, Pat, it was worth it. It was worth it. To hear Him. To behold Him. And that place that He placed them, He said, these vessels will be brought out and they're going to be put back in their place. It's encouraging. It's encouraging to see God's people. It's encouraging, Brother Scott, and you see them together. They come together and they fellowship together, Bob. It is. Place them in the house of God. These vessels, they were taken from the temple at Jerusalem and brought again into Babylon, but were restored and brought again unto Jerusalem, everyone to his place, and placed in the house of God. And here, turn with me to Jeremiah 27, and I'm going to close. Here we see the fulfillment of the promise of God. Jeremiah 27, verse 21. Yea, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and of Jerusalem, they shall be carried to Babylon, and there shall they be until the day that I visit them, saith the Lord. Then I will bring them up and restore them to His place. These vessels of honor, God's people, God's sheep, God's elect, are restored and brought back, made righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ by the imputation of His righteousness Himself. Here's the hope of being restored and brought back. I can say without a shadow of a doubt, without a word of doubt, all that Almighty God is pleased to save, He shall save them. He shall save them. We come together, we preach. I know this. This is the way that God will call out His people. And if they have to drive a mile or 50 miles, He'll get them here. He'll give them a heart to be here. Had somebody call me the other day from Texas. He said he just got my name some way, but wanted to know, told me where he was. He said, do you know of any place that I can go and worship and hear? He said, I'm stationed out in this, I'm in the Army, stationed out in this Fort Hood's where he is. You know any place I can go? I can say, yeah, there's a place that's about 4.5 or 5 hours from you. You know, that's all you've got to drive to hear the gospel. Told him where it was. Gave him Brother Jack's number. I said, you can call Jack Shanks or David Pleasure. 4.5 or 5 hours is just not that far when it's life. Life. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations.
The Lord says these vessels, they're going to be brought back. I'm going to restore them. They'll be brought back and put into my temple. People, sinners, dug out of the same pit. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is by grace. By grace. Well, let's take our hymnals. Let's sing one.